Well, thank you, Marcel. Good morning, everyone. Make sure you come back now, all those that are deserting me in the balcony. Make sure you come back. Well, yesterday was a good day at the Lynn Valley Days. And was anybody there? Were you there? Yes. How many dropped by? You waved, dropped by? Yes, good. Thank you. We went through water like crazy, water jugs that had the Valley Church on it. That was a good idea. We went through painting, you know, face painting. That was super popular. And we went through a scientific, what did you call that, a scientific?
Cornstarch and water.
And the amazing things you can, it really is something, that's what it is, that you can smack it as hard as you want and it doesn't even spill. Should have brought some of you, all of you could have had some this morning. Wherever Tim finally buried that stuff. Lasts for 1,000 years or something. But anyway, what do you do? It was good. And it was a good day. It was a good day just to be among our friends in this community. We see each other at church. These people, folks don't see us at all. And these are good moments. And all the children were amazing. There was a lot of kids there. I thought there must have been about maybe 2,000 people. I wasn't even sure how many, but it seemed to me like it'd be about 1,500 or 2,000 people. There's a lot of people, and that shows how much that is effective. So it was all good. Now, last Sunday night, we also had another night that was good. How many enjoyed the Holy Spirit evening? Yeah. How many forgot about it? Yeah, it was good. Yeah, there it is, Carl. That's it. That was good. It was... There was three congregations of people here, and the three C's, and the Anglicans, and ourselves, and there probably was in excess of a couple hundred people here, and the Spirit was moving, and people were touched, and Rex, remember you were telling me, they're just that somebody comes in here, starts, puts their hand on the doorknob, walks into the church and starts crying, and came in and was crying through the worship, and was crying through the sharing, the preaching, and just cried. And afterwards, when going out with friends, said, "What happened to me there?" Because they were so new, they weren't being conditioned. They didn't even know what it was, what was happening to them, except it was the Holy Spirit had come upon them. And of course, Graham Fletcher brought the house down. That was good. So I enjoyed the night. We'll do something like that again down the road. But it was really worthwhile. The purpose of it was to celebrate the Holy Spirit, because that's the Sunday on the church calendar. It's Pentecost Sunday. That's why we were celebrating it. But you don't have to wait for another calendar year to go by before we welcome the Holy Spirit to our church. But it keeps us fresh, keeps us alive and vibrant, so that we don't grow lazy and just fat and everything else, right? Spiritually speaking. So it's good. So praise the Lord for all of his blessings and all the good things. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter. Well, I'm going to read from chapter 4, but there's a part for you to be involved here. It's not just me this morning. When I finish reading chapter 4, 4 to 9, I'm going to have you, meanwhile, as I'm reading that, I want you either on your written word, your Bible that you have, or a screen that you're using and you're texting your friends this morning. So here's what we want you to do. I want you to think of Philippians chapter 1 to 4. I want you to think about the part that is your best verse, the verse that you like from Philippians. Okay, so with that in mind, let me read the word of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. This is chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I would say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's be anything worthy of praise, Think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and practice these things. There's a great verse. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Wow. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word. That's my favorite passage from the book of Philippians. It's been known, the book of Philippians has been called the happiest book in the Bible. The happiest book in the Bible. And maybe you've discovered that. So I'm not going to teach through Philippians today. There's been small group classes on that. But I'm going to take one little passage here that I just quoted from. But I'm going to share that in just a couple of moments. But what is your favorite? Just jump up and tell us what it is. We can correct it if we overlap each other a little bit. What? Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Somebody else. Maybe you haven't read it enough to make it your favorite. It's good. Yes. Oh, go read it for us.
Don't be anxious about anything, but in prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, request be made known to God.
Yeah, there. Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Yeah, yes. Oh, hey, oh, I was actually, yeah. how's your, Margot Fraser, come on. Oh, man. How was your week? What a journey you've been on. Yeah, thank you. That's great. You know, she was told or thought that she had a heart attack. Remember, we were all, oh, she had a heart attack. Well, she didn't. She didn't have a heart attack. She's here. Now, you're going to have some kind of surgery down the road, though, scheduled surgery. Gallbladder, is that okay? Well, we can still remember her in prayer, but isn't it, you were out in the valley, you were in a hospital, you were out of the hospital, you were, are you feeling good now? We can hardly believe you're here. Yeah, don't overdo it. That's, yeah, thank you. Well, it was great to see you. That's good news, eh, when you thought it was this and it's not that. All right, somebody else. Colossians, or Philippians. Just part of that that you really find encouraging. Yes, Joe. The Lord is at hand. Wow. Yes. The Lord is at hand. Is there one more? Yes. For some reason, our minds go to the negative, don't they, and the sensational and the horrific, instead of to that which is lovely. Yeah. One more. Yes. Yeah, he that began a good work in you. You know that verse now? He'll continue it to the day of Jesus, right till we come. That's another favorite of mine as well. I would agree with that. Well, turn back to Philippians chapter 4. He outlines, first of all, the need. There's a need. There's always a need. There's a need for a garrison, a fortress to be built around us, so that we're not overwhelmed and distraught as we so easily can be. It's not hard to get distraught in this world. Even watching the news, there seems to be a shut-off time. You say, I can't watch anymore. I've seen that too many times, the dying and the suffering and the people have gone through this and a hurricane and an earthquake. And if we focus on that, we lose all perspective, all victory in our lives. And so there's a need for a guard for my head and a guard for my heart. You've never had anything in your head that wasn't, or anything in your heart that wasn't first in your head. Those thoughts that come And if we don't deal with them and pull them down, they overwhelm us. And so there's this, I find myself when I pray for people, we will even pray, Lord, let there be a garrison around their heart and their mind. The place where you feel emotionally and the head where you think rationally, so that those thoughts and those areas of your life where you tend to be, well, I call them high-risk areas. I've got areas in my life that I find myself, I'm prone to worry, or I'm prone to be upset about this or worried about that, and there's a kind of bit of a pattern, and I think it's something you actually put on. You don't assume that the Lord is going to garrison your heart and your mind. Let this be a fortress to protect, so that the arrows, ching, 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 you know, they're hitting around your the negative thoughts, and people say things, and how precious it is. You come across, if this indeed is the happiest book in the Bible, which I don't doubt that for a moment, that the need in your life, it'll be one of these things you'll return to over and over and over again. My wife Val, she's just over there, sitting over there, she, in her book and her Bible, she has almost, Philippians, I wouldn't have to guess what is her favorite verse or her favorite book, because it's Philippians, because she's returned to it time and time again, as you have, when we find ourselves reading these verses because they are worthwhile reading. So whatever need you have even today, do you think about, as you're sitting here today, what need do you have that has to do with thinking that glorifies the Lord? Then find yourself back to this again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving. And you visit it again because there's a need for it, and God placed this here. God puts things in the Bible for a reason. And this is one of those that is so good. That whatever the need, there's a verse like this from Philippians that will, like even this one that we quoted here, that he that begun a good work in you. It's assuming that God started something. And by the way, six times it's mentioned in the book of Philippians, six times of the coming of the Lord, that he's coming. And it's got this preparation that is laid out there for us. Also, there's a tremendous theme from Philippians. I said to Lauren Pritchard one occasion, I said, I read something, Brother Pritchard, I said that Philippians is the greatest Christological passage of Scripture in the Bible. And without, this is just not too long before he passed away, and he rebuked me, but in a kind of a biblical way. He said, I disagree. I don't think it's Philippians. He said, I think Stuart Briscoe was wrong. It was not that. It's Colossians. Because that's another passage of that. And I thought, oh, that's great. So it simply says that Jesus is divine. That's what this Christological focus is, that Jesus is divine. He's not just a teacher and not just a messenger, but he is God himself come down in human form. So Philippians chapter 4, as we focus on one specific thing here. So the need is always present, and there's always something in Scripture that would help us make it through. I don't know how you are. I don't know whether you worry more for yourself or for others, but it's a horrific thing to be overwhelmed with stress. And Margaret, even while you were in the hospital and even being treated, we were praying that you would not be overwhelmed with worry and concern. Why is that? Because that's how we are. When you become a believer, you don't cease to feel things. It's in the midst of things, that God would comfort her and guide her and direct her and watch over her. In the midst of things that her doctor would be directed. And so we just, as we pray one for another, but there is always a need. There always will be a need. That's why we say, has anybody got it? It doesn't matter when it is, what week it is. One week it's her turn, next week it's your turn, and we're always praying for each other and lifting each other up and embracing each other and say, Lord, keep them strong. May the peace of God be their stronghold and so forth. So we have a need. I hope it's not my turn this week, and I hope it's not your turn, but through life, it almost always, it'll be your grandson or it'll be your marriage or it'll be something that we'll need to pray and to claim the promises of God over and over and over again. I think that if you were going to have, how would I say it, like if you're like a personal coach, and you were going to fill your heart and mind with great truth, it would be from Philippians, because it was there long before anyone else built a program around it. It was the scriptures. In other words, you can. This is really how Philippians shows us how to live the life. How to live the life, and there will be. It's a wonderful thing. Your life will be rich if you build these things into it. I can guarantee you that. So there is the promises, chapter 4, verse 7 to verse 9. Let me read it. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How wonderful is that? It's precious for us. And finally, brothers, whatever is true, and then he goes on to that, and finally ends in verse 9, what you have heard and received and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. It will be with you. That is my promise, but I must claim it and lay hold of it. Truth that is not laid hold of has very little value for you. I must lay hold of it and appropriate it to my heart and to my life, so that as I read it, I'm going to, by faith, claim it for the Lord's purposes. So there is the need. There is the promises of you will be kept. You will, you will, you will. That's the promise. And then it comes to the conditions. Because like all truths, there are conditions that we must embrace. You can't embrace it for someone else. You must embrace it for yourself. And so I've called these, like just like the four spiritual laws, which aren't really scriptural, I suppose, in many ways. But this is the four laws that you have protection for your heart and your mind. As you go through the difficulties of life and stresses and things that we face and encouragements that we need, what is it? What is the limitation of it? Well, there's a limitation that we must follow the Word of God. And so chapter 4, verse 4 and verse 5, it starts off, this is a law for our relationships. That's a measurement of some things, I think, isn't it? So rejoice in the Lord always. It starts relationally. Before you can read the rest and claim the rest, you have to take this part and start with the Lord. This is the power of this. Rejoice in the Lord. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord, it's not likely that you would be able to rejoice in Him. But suggesting that you do have, so rejoice in the Lord always. And so we can say, are you rejoicing? It's hard to rejoice when there's an elephant stepping on your head. It's hard, as they say. It's hard when you're up to your neck in alligators, but yet you know the Lord has sent you in to drain the swamp. But it starts with that, and I must force myself to say, Lord, I'm just going to praise you. We're overwhelmed. We don't know how this surgery is going to come out. We don't know how this is going to work out. We just don't know, Lord. We're just looking to you, but we rejoice in you, and we will continue to praise you, to rejoice in. You don't rejoice in your circumstances. You rejoice in the Lord in the midst of them. But it's not, you're not thanking the Lord for your car that's down by the side of the road, but you're thanking the Lord for watching over. You're praising Him. You're giving Him glory and honor and praise. It's just a thing that we do, it's the thing that's different. We begin to praise the Lord. And the good test of our spirituality is how far into the problem do we go before we find ourselves praising God. The sooner we do, you know, you're beside the road, because I saw that happen yesterday. Somebody got a flat tire. And I said, oh, boy, wrong spot to have one. But they were, you know, pushing the car off the road. And I thought, there would be a time to rejoice in God. But it's not as easy when the tire's flat. And you can't think of a reason why you should be praising God. But the scripture tells us exactly, that's when you're supposed to. You're beside the road, you don't know what you do. So what do you do? Well, you just start changing the tire. Lord, I praise you and bless you for this. I remember one time Val and I were heading out to somewhere in the States anyway. And we had a great church service, and we were just rejoicing in what a good service it was. And all of a sudden, bang! You know that time when your tire really blows? And, oh! And we didn't hardly know what it was. And we pull off, and we're on the freeway. So you know, what are you going to do? So there we are. We're in the ditch. You have to take everything out of the car. and the cars are going by, and we just could, and then we finally get it fixed. Well, I think we can get it into some place where there's civilization, and we just to pull it. Again, we're going really slow because it's got one of those little tires, you know, that are kind of hard. What is? I don't know what they are. They're not really tires, are they? I don't know what they are, but you can drive slowly on it apparently. Anyway, so we pull off the road, and bang, somebody bumps into our car. There was nothing. But he didn't even stop. He just drove off. Bang, we get. What in the world? And it becomes more and more less reasons to rejoice. Seem like it, right? Especially with the guy with an attitude. That was the worst part of it. So anyway, my wife is quite practical. And she said, well, why don't we go to Walmart in Bellingham? Why don't we go in Walmart? And I said, why would we? It's Sunday afternoon. No, why would you? Walmart, I don't think so. Of course, she's right again. They were open because they're open 24 hours a day. And we said, now we can rejoice. And about when she went off and shopping, even. She's going shopping there, where she was so happy that we... And, of course, down in the States, you know, the tire repair is about 10 times cheaper. I think it was about $11 to fix the whole thing. And our little lesson in, praise the Lord, oh, now we're worried. Oh, what's happening now? Now we're, somebody's run into us. It becomes comical afterwards, but at the time, it feels like everything's going wrong. And it is a time to praise the Lord, to rejoice in the Lord always. That's the part we have to put up. You have to put that up on the wall before you put the other things, that your relationship with God is that you love Him and you praise Him for His goodness and His kindness and all the good things that come from that. So rejoice in the Lord always. Let your reasonableness, as Joe read to us, let your reasonableness be known to everybody. Why? Because you have a relationship with God. Because I have a relationship with God. And so when people see my life, I find myself saying, listen, I can't fall apart. You can't fall. We'll give you a 15-second window, but you cannot fall apart because there's people wondering about your faith. You must deliberately lay hold of yourself and say, you cannot worry yourself here. I'm a poor testimony. I'm a child of God. God loves me, has a plan for my life. I cannot fall apart right now. Right, you can have a moment. I think God allows us to have some moments where we collect ourselves emotionally and say, whoa, what's going on? But at that point, then you have to begin to praise the Lord, or you're just like a pagan. You're just like the rest do, the whole world. The difference is how the rain falls on the just and the unjust. We're not exempt, right? I don't think we're exempt from anything. We just... go through everything like everybody else does. There's child-kid problems and personal problems and health problems and situations you go through. And in those situations, it's an opportunity to trust God. I can remember a fellow I know by the name of Danny Moe. And when they hauled away his business, it was called Venture Press. It was way 100 years ago. And as they hauled away, he's had to foreclose, right? Everything is shut down. And him and the secretary are the only two left there, and they're pushing, the business is done. And he's kind of rejoicing. And she says, Danny, and she's bawling her eyes out, she's crying. She felt so bad for him that you've lost your business, you've lost everything, and now they're taking away everything. And he's smiling, you know, and he's saying, hey, give me a hand with this, and they're hauling up. And she said, how can you... you realize what's happened? They're taking everything away from you. He said, Ardell, I just concluded that this is a great opportunity to trust God. This is a great opportunity to trust God. And she said, I never forgot that. I never forgot that he could look at the situation at its very worst and conclude that I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Because that my reasonableness would be known among all men. By the way, I was at Danny's dad's funeral. And he says, this is kind of a man he is. He says, well, I want to welcome everybody here. He says, praise God, you're here for my dad's funeral. This is really great. This is a great moment to be together here. This is a great chance here to send my dad off to heaven. this is really a wonderful, great moment. He's still, the death of his father, he's still rejoicing that there's a God in heaven that he trusts and he walks with. So there we have it, to rejoice always. That's the starting point. You can ask yourself the question today, thus far in my journey, am I rejoicing? Now, we don't mean in a fakey way where, praise the Lord, you know, and it's, everybody says, what is that about? You're just insincere with that. But sincerely praising the Lord, thanking him, even though it's difficult and it's harsh sometimes, and it's something we just don't understand. Don't understand what's going on or why this happens. But it's not a matter of saying, well, why has God allowed this? You will not gain any headway on that with that question. You must just begin to rejoice and say, I don't know what's going on, but I know one thing, I'm going to praise the Lord. You can choose that. I can choose that. It's the one thing. I can't choose all the other things. I may not know what's going on, and I'm as perplexed. But somehow you forget. I've seen this so many times. Well, why did God allow this in my family? And my family is such a good family. That's not the question, because God will not answer it. He's never answered for me, and he hasn't answered for you either. That's a question that you and him will have to work out as to what that was about, as to why that happened. The why, we don't know. But the rejoicing, that much we do know. That was my responsibility, to rejoice with all of my heart. And so when we come together for church, you say, you know, I couldn't lift my hands this morning. But you should have. You should have. Because I'm going to lift my hands this morning and bless God. I had, you know, you maybe had the week from Hades, but I'm going to lift my hands and praise God. I'm going to thank him. I'm going to give him glory. Because someday we stand with our hands, you know, and we say, well, I don't feel very good this morning. I'm not feeling, I'm so much on my plate. I'm so worried about this. Yeah, I know. And next week it'll be somebody else. Next week it'll be somebody else. But it's gained this opportunity that God gives. This is how we live our lives. And as we do that, there is power in praise. It's not just something, you know, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, like a parrot or something. It's not, there's power in it. That when I lift my hands, the devil's not going to gain any victory on this. I'm going to bless the Lord's name. And I will rejoice in him. And maybe some moment I'll find out why that's going on or this is going on. But for this moment, I know what I'm going on. I'm going on to praise the Lord. And will we have opportunities? Hey, life is full of opportunities to rejoice in the Lord. It just happens all the time. You're not unique. I'm not unique. There are people who have problems 5 times worse than mine. Oh, 100 times worse than mine. And yet we have this perspective as believers that the law of our relationships is that rejoice in the Lord. And people see that the Lord is at hand, that God is present. And one of the greatest testimonies you'll ever have is to be facing difficulties or just stresses or setbacks in some kind. Some things are not life-changing, but they're there. But in the midst of that, as you do that, that will be a great testimony. Because you know people are, and they say, you seem, how are you not bitter? Why are you not bitter over your divorce? Why are you not bitter? I know the Lord. I know the Lord. That's why I can't be bitter. I know the Lord. Well, you know, evangelism takes place in these kind of settings. Whatever you have, I want to talk to you about that. I don't know how you faced that situation and that situation. How did you do that? And you say, I don't know how I did it, but I'm a Christian, and I love the Lord, and He's got plans for my life. And this has happened, but I vowed that I wouldn't get bitter. You know, the kids don't need to see bitterness, and so I decided not to get bitter. And of course, as they begin to praise the Lord, these kind of things, folks, this is what, there's a power to them. And people will wonder about you and think about you and say, I met this person at work. There's such an amazing attitude in the midst of a very difficult, painful moment. And rejoice, the Lord is at hand. By faith, because we say, oh, I don't see him. No, I know. Don't feel him. No, that's for sure. Wish I could. Don't you wish that? So I wish there was a God with skin on that I could actually touch. Well, but he's present. And we know that in our heart of hearts. I think we know that. So the law of our relationship, that's the first thing, is to rejoice in Jesus. The second law is a law for our circumstances. Chapter 4 and verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. How's it going this morning? Do not be anxious about anything. What about, don't be anxious about that. Can I be concerned? Yes, but not anxious. Concerned, but not anxious. Have we got it? Let's say it together. Concerned, but not anxious. I'm concerned about that health report. We're concerned about that thing with the grandchild. We're concerned about this. You know, we are. It's human to be concerned. To be anxious, though, that's different. And so, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything. Anxious and nothing in everything. By what? Well, he gives the formula. By prayer? That's the very first question, isn't it? Have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? Oh, no. That's the start. Isn't that the starting point? We pray about it. And with thanks, a prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I'll come back to these again. Let your request be made known unto God. How beautiful. The circumstances, the things that happen to us, and the things that happen behind us and around us, all type of situations. But don't be anxious about anything. This is why this book is called the happiest book of the Bible, because you're still rejoicing and thanking God, letting our request be made known unto God. And so we tell God what's on our heart. And I've had nights where I didn't sleep. You've had nights where you didn't sleep. I wanted to, but I just couldn't shut it down. And I hated myself in the morning for not being more spiritual. You know, meaning that, but it just the point was, I was worrying and I stressed myself out so much that I wasn't very effective. I was just tired. And you've been there. How many have lost a night of sleep because of a relationship or because of a situation? Yeah, all kinds. And so we pray about it, and that is all. But I know this. I have been with hundreds, maybe thousands over the years of people. You know, we've come and say, "What? Oh, here's the situation." Well, but few of us have come over to pray with you and to minister to you. And they're crying, and there's stress in the home. You can feel it, and there's just a situation at hand. And as we begin to say, well, why don't we come to Christ? Oh, I don't. See, nobody feels like it, but we're going to come to Christ. And we bow our hearts, and somebody leads. Say, dear Lord, we don't know what's all going on here, but we thank you for your presence. And Lord, we ask you, now as you begin to pray and bring that request to God, that other person, there's some tears dropping down their cheeks because they're sensing the presence of the Lord. In the midst of these circumstances, they're sensing the presence of Jesus. And it's a wonderful, it's an unbelievably beautiful thing to see a room full of stress and anxiety and angst and everything else, and it begins to lift. And you can just feel it, and the person is wiping their eyes, and we're feeling the Lord. And then we say, well, why don't we just thank him? Let's thank him together. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. We praise you. We bless you. We turn this over to you. We turn that situation over to you. Lord, here's our request. Hear what we pray here today. Now watch over this dear saint of God. Lord, just protect them and guide them and direct them. And may no weapon formed against them prosper here, Lord. And we just bless God in this situation. And what happens? The whole atmosphere in that room changes. Where there was despair, that's why when we send people over to pray for something, it's really important stuff. We're going to pray for the individual. We're going to pray for that person that God would grant, especially that God would grant them peace. Because you know that if you know Christ and you have a Christian friend, the second part, if you have know Christ, you have a Christian friend, and then you're going to make it. You can go through on that. You can overcome in that situation. If you have those ingredients. And because I just seen it so many times where, now, did the situation change? No, not at that moment. I don't think it did. Maybe in the heavenlies it did. But it didn't. I'd be lying if I said it. No, it didn't. But the whole atmosphere changed. The whole situation changed. I mean, as far as emotions. where we walked in despair, we went over there hugging each other, say, well, we'll keep in touch for the next few hours and see what happens. But it was really, boy, that as you go, that family that you prayed over and invited the Spirit of God to come into, to land on them, you are an instrument of heaven. It's amazing. And most people will say, I really felt the presence of Jesus when you guys prayed. Isn't that something? So he says, pray about things. Bring it to the Savior and watch what he will be known. And your request may be known to God, and it's just this wonderfulness that and the peace of God will overcome you. So there's the law of our relationships. Number two, there is the law for our circumstances. Right? Our circumstances. Bring your request to God. And come soon as you can. And if you can solicit the prayers of a friend, how blessed are you? But certainly you can come to the Lord regardless of that. And then in chapter 6 and verse 8, there is the law for our thoughts. You can't let your mind go rampant. The battle, by the way, is always for the mind. And so chapter 4 and verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, if it's true, think on that. Whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, some things have excellence, don't they? If there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise here, think about those things. Think about that. When we share in a few minutes here, I wouldn't mind hearing some of you how you download that to your heart. How do you think of those things? How does that work? Maybe you could give us some insight on that. And so there, the law for your thoughts. You can't be thinking of everything that's going wrong. You can't be dwelling on negative things and talking to negative people. You have to guard, matter of fact, some thought, because people pull, how many know people can pull us down? And they share negativity and despair and bad things, and it's maybe not the best to be subject to them, because it's really negative and it pulls everybody down. You have to guard that. You can't completely get away from it, but the law for your thoughts. Don't let somebody else put stinking thinking. Right? Stinking thinking is that it's there's no faith in it, and it's against the Lord almost. It can't be against that. We must rejoice at these thoughts we focus on. We're not going to focus on negative things. It'll all come together one way or another. But God is going to guide us and direct us, and we're going to be in the center of His will, and we're going to bless His name. So, the law of relationships, the law of circumstances, the law of our thoughts, and then lastly, a law for our behavior. When I came across it, I thought, I often don't read that. I just kind of stop that part. He's asking him, Paul's telling him that what you have learned, where did he learn it from? Probably from the leadership. I don't know. What you have learned, okay, and received, or seen in me, if you saw it in me, what you have learned and what you've seen in me, practice those things. Wow. Practice those things. The things you saw, right, this is, things you saw, things you learned, things you saw in me. I want you to practice those in the days alone. Barb was telling me about this course that we're looking at for down the road a ways, and one of the things was appreciation. Barb, I know I just put you strictly on the spot right now. Just talk about that 5-minute appreciation. Lord, I appreciate you. Without talking about the course. And only take a few minutes. A little louder.
Greater hearing.
Wow. Yeah. But starting with that moment with God. Yeah. Good. Thank you. I think that this idea of appreciation, it's just that there's that 5 minutes. It's not very long, right? We can watch a whole lot of different things in 5 minutes. But it sets the possibilities in my life. Matter of fact, that might even be something fun to do just this tonight, to start tonight. Just take, if you say, I don't take any time, well, I'd be good. Tie it together here, and just take a moment and just tell God how much you appreciate Him. Don't pray heavy duty prayers. Just say, God, I really love you. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for watching over me. Thank you for protecting me. And 1,000 good things, but it starts with appreciation. So I'm sure that's when He says, those things you learned of me, you put them into practice. Let it work out in your life. And there will be moments to do that, especially at the beginning and the end of a day. So thank you both. So the law of our behavior, for our behavior, is that I want to give my whole life over to God, that I might serve Him and love Him and trust Him. But it comes to Psalm 55. If you have your scriptures here, just turn to Psalm 55. I think that... I came across this Psalm 55 and verse 12. Listen to this. This is the thing that must be done at some time. For if there's going to be protection for my heart and protection for my mind, that if I'm going to go through life as a positive person who has a joy in his heart, if I'm going to do that, then I must do this. I must learn to do it well. And I think this is some of the things that Paul would have been teaching to in the Philippians. Verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. We used to sing a chorus when I was a kid, is that I shall not be moved, I shall not be moved, just like, you remember that? But it was just a declaration, I shall not be moved, like a tree by the river, I shall not be moved. I think if you can learn, if I can learn the power of learning how to cast, so that at nighttime, if my mind is whirling and I'm upset and I'm discouraged, if that happened, at least I can say, Lord, I'm going to cast this on You, and even consciously see myself pushing it onto Him. Then in the morning, you cast again your cares upon the Lord. It's in other words, it sounds harsh, but it's true. To sin, or to worry rather, is sin. To worry is sin because it accuses God of not being who He said He was. You cannot worry. You must cast to the Lord. I'm sure you're right. So, learning. We learn it. We're not necessarily good at it right away. But after a while, your whole week, you have given over to the Lord and trusted Him. That situation or somebody else's situation that you're praying for. And as we do that, we find ourselves less stressed, more positive, more excited about what God might be doing, even though there's some difficulties you're facing. So this morning, I would write down just one thing that you can take away from here this morning. Just one thing that you can say, I'm weak in this area, but this is what I'm going to do tonight or tomorrow or the next day. And it might be that one of these laws, that's not the right word. There's a better word than law. But it had our relationships, our circumstances, our thoughts, and our behaviors. The writer of Philippians is saying, and if you do those things, you will be mightily blessed, deeply encouraged. It's how we survive. It's how we become the happiest people. And I can see that. The happiest people, it could be us, because we've learned how to cast our care on Christ. Amen. Let's open it up to some others here this morning that just some things you've learned about or in the process of learning about growing in Christ. Can you just raise it a little bit, but help us go through that again. The difference between having Him.
Yeah, not having Him in my life, and then all of a sudden having Him in my life with the same problem. And it's worthy of praising Him and thanking Him. That's what you thank Him for. It's not, oh, gee, thanks for the problem. Because, like you said.
Yeah, thanks for the sickness. Thanks for my car broken down. Yeah. And on that note, is it not, I often marvel at it. How is it, what do people do without Christ, without the Spirit's help? What do you turn to? What do you cling to when there's nothing to cling to? Thanks, Barb, yes. Yeah, that's, Joan. Somebody else, yeah.
I think like what you guys were saying, I think that's how we combat anxiety becoming our master. Because I think anxiety and fear and worry can very easily slip from being kind of servants to masters in our lives and directing us. And I think that all those things, like whatever is noble, whatever is pure, all these things as we lift up God, those things kind of take their rightful place, as smaller that greater God is in our life.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, good. Somebody else? Yeah, William.
I have to think if I'm free, because you can't set us free from all this mental game that we play, you know. And then I go through the process of what is it that keeps me in bondage, and then I said, well, what can I do for you?
Yeah, but that's what Christ has come to do, though. Yes. Right. Yeah, thanks, William. Yeah. Yeah, he has. But if you didn't know him, well, you say liquor would be the root one of the many possibilities. And so here we come along, not with pithy little sayings, but heartfelt for bringing people to the God who loves them and cares about them. As we have, see, as we've found comfort from him, so we bring comfort for others. Yeah. What? Yes, it takes a while. Well, we learn things. We're learning stuff. We haven't. Yeah, true. Very true. Is there one more, and then we'll close.
I like the New Living Translation of verse 4, verse 6. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And this is the important part. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. And the more traditional translations integrate more closely the notion of thanksgiving or thanking, and that tears it.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. What I think we're just going to do here as we close, if you are maybe facing a bit of some stressful things, as Brother Carl, come up here if you wouldn't mind, just get you to pray. I think it would be, you know, when you went to church and said, you know, I went to church this morning, I really went home really encouraged that God's got everything under control. And so I thought, if you just bow your hearts, Carl's just going to look across this audience. And if you are here this morning, you say, you know, I'm really bummed out. I know I shouldn't be worrying, but I'm just feeling so overwhelmed with situations. And if you just raise your hand, just with your eyes closed, just not looking around, and then just indicating as Carl prays for us, you just say, you're really saying, Lord, remember me today. So just feel free to just raise your hand. Just close your eyes. Raise your hands. Yeah, thank you, Lord.
God, we just acknowledge you, Lord, as being very practical in your dealings with us. And in this relationship that we have with you, Lord, a lot of it depends on the choices
yeah.
that we make.
Yeah.
As we heard Owen say this morning, if we make the choices, Lord, that you're faithful and that you help us resolve the issues in our lives. We come to you this morning, Lord,
yes.
With whatever strength we
yes,
have,
praise
wherever we're at, Lord, we resolve in our hearts to yeah. make the choices that will allow you to minister to
yeah.
us effectively in our circumstances, right where we are right now, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you so much that we have this relationship, and like Owen said, where would we be without it?
I mean, yeah.
What do people do when they don't have a relationship with their God?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
This morning, Lord, we come to you and we just open our hearts, Lord. We say, come, Lord Jesus.
Yeah, come.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Spirit of God, come.
Come and help us right
yeah.
where we are right now in our point of need, Lord.
Yes.
We just ask and invite you, Lord, to be real to us this morning and to help us with real practical solutions
yeah.
to our problems.
Yes.
Oh, Lord. I heard Owen say this morning, the one thing I heard him say was that the dynamic in the whole process is that we rejoice.
Yeah.
We need to rejoice. As bad as things are, the dynamic that will change things,
to
invite the change to happen, is the praise and the rejoicing.
Yeah.
So, Lord, we thank you now, and we just ask your blessing on this morning's people in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Carl. Thank you. Yeah, praise the Lord. Please join us on the patio. It's great weather, and it'd be nice to chat with you. God bless.